welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and this is the first regular, whole, normal episode I am recording in my brand new office. And it feels pretty good. It feels pretty good. I will eventually put more photos of it on the internet, but all you need to know for right now is that I am staring at vintage Muppets wallpaper that I spent years of my life sourcing, and I'm going to tell you, all the Google alerts were worth it, baby. All of them were worth it. I am in bliss looking at this thing. I am so excited to honestly record the podcast in a space where multiple members of my family aren't able to burst in immediately. I used to have to schedule recording the podcast when Pearl was at school. I have to like give Morty a treat and then like run and record it. It was a whole situation. And now I basically have a standalone recording studio. I am so excited about it. And I hope it means maybe I can like do more in the future. Maybe I like never have to take breaks again. I just cursed myself. That means we have to take another one. Oh no, jinx. But it's just really nice. It's really nice to be in a new space, be doing the same thing, and it's very exciting. I recorded the Mouselets D23 recap here. It was the first thing I recorded that was very special. And then I recorded a little bit of last week's intro and outro for Zach's episode. Zach's episode was recorded before D23, so that was already locked and loaded. I recorded a interview with a TikTok star you all know and love. He's so much more than a TikTok star. Just let those wheels turn and think about who that might be. That was the first proper interview that I recorded in the space. And now this week, it's just little old me talking about stuff I really want to do at Disney World. There's a bunch of stuff that we just haven't talked about out loud, and I think that we should do it this week. I think we got to talk about it because I may or may not have a trip coming up. What? What did she say? Oh, I don't know. I guess I'll just have to tell you more about that after the break. Stick around. There's a whole lot more to come. It's me again. Typically, this is the point in the show where Becky Mankin from MEI Mouse Fan Travel, our favorite travel agency who can book all of your trips seamlessly for no cost, and I typically talk about all the discounts that are available for the types of vacations you're probably going to want to take if you listen to Very Amusing. Thank you to everyone who called in because ends up the volume level on our recent conversation was all kaflooey. It was all messed up. And guess whose fault that was? That's right, mine. Entirely my fault. To the point where like, I don't even really know how to fix the error that I made. And Becky and I are having a new conversation about all of the upcoming deals in about a week. So until then, I'm just going to reiterate all the information that we had in that conversation you couldn't hear very well to make sure that you do not miss a single detail about these discounts. As you know, this is Becky's territory. I'm better at just yapping too close to the sun. So I'm going to do my best to channel the professionalism and the genius that is Becky Mankin to let you know about these discounts. Again, we will be back with Becky in a little bit, but I figure this is the simplest way to just make sure that you can actually hear about everything. Now, for many months, we've talked about discounts at Royal Caribbean, Aulani, Disneyland, Disney World, but we have not really talked about Universal Orlando, and they are finally tapping in. For travel from September 8th to December 25th of this year, you can get 30% off a hotel or take part in their bundle and save promotion for savings up to $300. We will go over details about that in a second. If you're already thinking about vacations for next year, it also, something similar, starts again on January 3rd and goes all the way till March 15th. That is my favorite time to be in Orlando because it can be sweater weather. It can be a little too cold, but ooh, wearing a jacket in Orlando is heaven. Now, this is a little bit tricky of a deal because it really depends on what you are booking. So you can save 30% off at a Universal Orlando Resort Hotel on a 5-night or longer stay between those date ranges I mentioned. There are a lot of ticket bonuses, like for arrivals 10/20 to 12/16. You get a 3-day park-to-park ticket and get 2 days free. That's wild. But then from now until basically the end of the year, December 31st, you save different amounts of money depending on how many nights you stay. You can save $50 when you stay 4 nights, or you can save $300 when you stay 7 or more nights. Then at the start of the year through April 30th, that's even longer than when Becky and I last spoke, And you can save similarly. If you stay 4 nights, you save $25. If you stay 7 or more nights, you can save $200. So make sure to reach out to MEI Mousefan Travel at mousefantravel.com/amusing, and they will hook you up and they will let you know kind of what that pricing is like. Now, Disney World is... Sorry if you heard my phone. I got an email. Ooh, not to brag. I got an email. Disney World is still running up to 20% off select rooms. This is for Sunday to Thursday, October 4th to November 19th. And then again, which she said includes weekends. Fun. November 22nd to December 24th. Enjoy holiday decorations. Ooh! Ooh, at Disney World? Don't tempt me with a good time. And if you're a Disney Plus member, don't forget about this whole Disney Plus perks situation. You can save up to 25% on rooms and also get a free Park Hopper benefit added to your ticket when you purchase a 4-night, 4-day room and ticket package. And if you, like me, have purchased any of your loved ones' tickets lately, you know how much money that is. You know that's a whole lot of money. That is for select stays, September 25th through December 24th. There are a couple of blackouts in there right now, but Becky called it one of the best savings that you can come across for Walt Disney World right now, and I completely agree. Now, over at Disneyland, there is 15% off rooms that is ending truly a few days from when you hear this. So if you're hearing this at the start of the month, run. But otherwise, they did finally just open bookings for 2027 for Disneyland. So if you've been waiting to book, reach out to MEI Mousefan Travel and they will help you take care of your vacation needs. Stick around because we have a lot more discounts on the other side of the episode, and I'll see you there. Welcome back. Today, we are talking Disney World bucket list because I'm going to Disney World in a few weeks. I am going on a very, 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 very special Disney cruise sailing. Very special. I will be telling you more about it extremely soon, maybe by the time this comes out. But basically, I'm allowed to talk about it, but there's something in my brain that's like, it's a secret! And it's not a secret. I literally have confirmed with PR about 6 times. I've been like, you're sure I can talk about this? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, are you sure? And they're like, yes, you can talk about it. And for some reason, I'm very scared to talk about it, but apparently I can. You know what? I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to be brave, even though they told me I can. I don't know why I'm doing this. Anyway, I've alluded to this on other episodes if you listen to the podcast regularly, but I am extremely, extremely, extremely excited to tell you that I'm scared. I don't know why. I don't know why I think they're going to like tell me I can't come anymore and like take my Disney Cruise Line luggage tag things back. I don't know. I have a stateroom assignment. It's happening supposedly. See? Oh my gosh, I'm just standing in my own way. Anyway, I'm very excited to share that in just a few weeks, I will be boarding the Disney Wish, on which I will be learning every detail about the newest Disney Cruise Line ship, the Disney Believe. We are doing, and again, I feel like I'm not allowed to say this, but they said I can, so if they come for me, I apologize. We are going to be doing a sort of scavenger hunt to find clues and to figure out what is on the new ship, which is basically an activation press event built for my brain. That's built for my brain because let me tell you, sitting and listening to people talk about stuff in a panel for an hour, not for me. I got ADHD, baby. I'm not even entertaining the idea of seeing The Odyssey. I will never see that movie. I cannot sit for that long and focus. However, having me run around an air-conditioned vessel at sea that happens to be playing my favorite Disney songs the entire time as I try to solve mysteries, there's never been something I've been more excited to do. It could not be more perfect for moi. So I cannot wait. I will be posting an upsetting amount. You will open your phone that week and you'll be seeing my face because I plan on posting probably 10 times a day. I cannot wait. As you know, I got very, very into guessing what was going to be on the other ships, the Disney Treasure, the Disney Destiny. I have a whole spreadsheet that I'm going to reactivate to figure out, like, from the clues they gave us, what might be the show restaurant? What might be in the space of the Haunted Mansion Bar? What could all these things be? I cannot wait to sit down and fully go Carrie from Homeland, pinboard, string, not sleeping. Like, that is the vibe that I'm going to uncover these details with. Maybe I should bring, like, a cork board. I'm like already like, maybe I should like have a diagram in my room and like try to sort it out. I'm going to be tactile. I'm very, very focused on figuring out what it is. But before that trip, because I got to fly across country for it, I thought, why don't I just go a few days early and have some time at Disney World? I don't really have any other Disney World plans on the books. It's been a minute. It's been since June, LOL. But I just thought it would be nice to go and have like a couple days at Disney World and then really just work and do so much on board the cruise. So that is what's happening. I'm going with my mom, I'm going with Pearl. We're going for, it's about 2 days at Disney World. And planning that trip lightly, light planning. We're not doing much. I just want to vibe. I just want to be walking around Epcot. Oh, I just want to feel Epcot. I just want to be walking around Epcot with my little Joffreys. That's like really all I want to do is walk in a circle. I haven't planned too much, but I've obviously been thinking about this trip and it's like ruminating and I'm starting to think of all the things that like an ideal trip, 2 blank days at Disney World, what would I want to do? And that's how this episode came together because there's a bunch of stuff I've never done that's just always kicking around in the back of my brain. And I thought, why don't I say it out loud? And hopefully I'll maybe inspire you to do something new on a future trip, tell you about something that you may not already know about, or you can hold me accountable for one thing that I have not done, which will be very upsetting to all of you. There's something I'm going to admit on this week's episode that I do not want to tell you, and I have obfuscated 4 years. And I'm going to come out and admit that there's something at Disney World I haven't done that you definitely think I've done that I've never said I've done and I have not done, and we are going to talk about it later on in this episode. But to begin, for this trip, I really, really thought this one thing was going to happen. I thought that I was going to be able to do afternoon tea at Cake Bake Shop. I looked into it. It's a very interesting reservations process. You have to email them and then you like converse back and forth with a person. You don't just make a reservation on like Resy or OpenTable or anything. It's like a whole process. And we got down the line of it. I was ready to book. And then I saw that it's non-refundable. And for me, like, If you don't cancel within 2 or 3 days and it's not refundable, like that's fine. If you cancel within 24 hours and you have to pay, maybe I had to pay like $20 per person, that would be fine. I understand it's a very curated thing. High tea is very, very special. But traveling with a toddler across the country, I am not in a place in my life where I can prepay for a 3-person, like really, really nice meal and maybe have to walk and maybe have to not be able to go. So that got cut immediately. I still really want to do it. We do have plans to go to Cake Bake Shop and just go and have, like, I'm gonna have my lemon soup. Pearl will have like a cake. Like, it'll be nice. We'll still have a really nice time. We're still gonna go there. But that afternoon tea is just on the horizon and it's something I quite want to do. It really appeals to me more than the new Grand Floridian tea. The first photos that came out of that, I was like, yikes, yikes, yikes. Food coloring express. Like, everything is very bold in a way that my stomach goes, please don't make me battle that while I'm also trying to digest everything else you want to eat at these parks. It's not for me. The space is what I crave, but the meal isn't quite what I want. I want like elegant, like ideally, if there was a Grand Floridian high tea, I know it has to be character themed. It's Disney. I would want kind of like the Grand Floridian cafe version of high tea at Grand Floridian. That's a lot of ways to say Grand Floridian, but you know what I mean. I would want scones with like what if it was like scones with like some sort of orange butter and like a key lime jam? Wouldn't that be delicious? Wouldn't that be extraordinary? Something like that, something to pay homage to Florida, to pay homage to Disney World's past. Like, I would want maybe some sort of like cookie or pastry shaped like a monorail. I wouldn't want stuff inspired by characters. That is what I would crave out of tea. Oh my gosh, they should do that at California Grill. They should absolutely do something like that at California Grill that honors like the history of Walt Disney World Resort. That I would pay for it in full and not be like, girly, I don't care what kind of day you're having, we are going to get the monorail cookie. It's happening. But regardless, tea at Cake Bake is something that I aspire to do one day, but is not going to happen for me right now. If you are curious about the Cake Bake Shop's afternoon tea, it's called the Roses of Gold Afternoon Tea Experience, and it's actually available every single day between 10:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. You have to email, let me get the address for you, concierge@thecakebakeshop.com, and for 2 adults and 1 child, the cost was going to be, let me load it for you. Isn't it fun to hear me go through my inbox? Okay, it was going to be $332.78 for the three of us. Now, for 3 adults, for a lovely little afternoon meal, Disney World prices for something elegant, special, something bucket list worthy, that is not too out of line. But for like a casual day with a toddler where like I don't even know if we're actually gonna make it, it just was not gonna happen for us. So on a future adult trip, hopefully, but for this trip, it's just not happening. Another item that I am adding on my Disney World bucket list, which is the most easily accessible thing here, is all of the member perks that you get from being a Disney Visa cardholder. Do I have the card? You bet. Do I bring it with me everywhere I go? Sure do. Can I ever remember to take advantage of the benefits? No, not even once. Not even once have I remembered with this new card to take advantage of it. There are all of these like cardholder exclusive meet and greets that I just, when I get on property, I go, brrp, they escape from my brain. There's a Visa cardholder meet and greet at Disney's Hollywood Studios. There is a Visa cardholder meet and greet. Where is that? Oh, ooh, where did I? Sorry. I guess there's one at Epcot. There's one at Disney Hollywood Studios. And then I think there was also an annual pass holder character meet and greet, but that might have been temporary. That was from, I just plopped, sorry, I'm looking at the doc for the episode and I plopped that in from my old itinerary from an earlier trip where, guess what? I set reminders to do this and I still didn't do it. I have the card and I pay for it. I mean, they gave me a bunch of money back. So like they kind of paid me to have it at the time because like I immediately signed up and they sent me $300, which like, I don't know how that works, but okay. I guess as long as I pay my bills, I'm fine. I think it's on auto pay. And if it's not, then I'm in trouble. Anyway, the Visa gives you perks at the parks and I need to use it more because that is one of the benefits of having it. And I just simply cannot remember to use it. So hopefully on my next trip, that is something that I can accomplish because that costs $0 beyond I already have the card. And I really need to do it. Something else I really want to do, extremely niche, but there is one single hotel room at Walt Disney World that I am dying to stay in. It's not a suite. It's not a club level room. Well, actually it is a club level room, but we're getting to that in a second. It is not like, oh, I just wish to be at the Grand Floridian looking out on the castle. No, my dreams are small and strange because there is this one style of room at Disney's Boardwalk that is lofted and I want to stay in it so badly. So here's the deal with this room. It is called a garden room at Disney's Boardwalk Inn. And basically you walk in and there's a couch on there. I've tried to see so many YouTube walkthroughs of this room. I'm embarrassingly obsessed with this room. You walk in, there's like an L-shaped couch. You chill out, you watch TV, there's a desk. And then you go upstairs and your bed is lofted above. I don't know why, but staying in a hotel room at Disney World that reminds me of like a New York apartment I would have stayed in my 20s really scratches some itch I didn't know I had. And I want to stay in it so bad. And every time I go to book a trip and I'm looking for availability, I can never find this room. And I finally figured out why. Apparently, they will not let you rent this room if you are staying with a child. It is, and I finally figured this out after like putting in all my information and being like, why won't this room come up? Why? Where is this room? It sleeps up to two adults, period. They will not let you do two adults and like a small human that takes up no space. And I thought it was ideal because, oh, adults could stay upstairs in the lofted bed. Child could stay downstairs. You still hear them, but there's separation. It seemed ideal for traveling with a young kid. They will not let you do it. And while this is a bucket list dream of mine, now the new bucket list dream is finding out why this policy exists. I don't know what may or may not have happened to cause them to ban children from a lofted room. I don't know what Disney legal decision was made. I gotta know the backstory, but I am unable to stay here until my child graduates high school, and that is upsetting to me. This is my white whale, and I really can't figure out why. I mean, I've stayed upstairs. I've stayed upstairs in houses before and have not been this excited. I've slept on the top bunk at overnight camp. Maybe like that nostalgia is what's really appealing to me here. But this room looms so large in my mind. And it's even more expensive now than it used to be because it's my understanding that it's club level now. It is now a club level room. And it did not used to be. It seems like it did not used to be club level. And I have so many emails between Blair and MEI Mousefan Travel and myself being like, I just want to stay in this room. And like sometimes it just simply has not been available for my dates. Other times, like when I went for Amusapalooza, I was like, I gotta stay and it just wasn't available. I don't need the club level. I just really want to stay in the lofted bed. And one day I will see this with my own eyes, but my child will not. Sucks for her, but I gotta see this. I gotta be seeing this room one day. If you stayed in this room, please tell me if there is anything special about it because I'm like really hyped on it and I don't know why, but I really wanna make it happen for myself. Oh my God, to walk upstairs to your bed seems so unique. A two-story room at Disney World. It's so special and I just want it. Oh, one day. Another thing on my bucket list, which I'm pretty sure some of you have absolutely done, and I weirdly feel like I have done and just have no memory of it. Like, I may have just incepted a memory into my brain of doing something similar, and have I done it? I don't know. But if I forgot if I had, that kind of means I haven't. I would love to go on a fireworks cruise at Walt Disney World. I love the boats. You know this, I love to be on watercraft at Disney World. And I just think a fireworks cruise would be like the perfect little party or celebration. If I hadn't gone to the NOAA show in Orlando on my birthday this year, I probably would have done something like this. Maybe for my big birthday next year, this will be something that factors in. Because if you follow me on Instagram, you know the train I wanted to do was, I believe, $28,000 for one night on a train, which is something we're not gonna do. We would buy a car that we don't need before we would be doing that, because what a waste of money. Anyway, these fireworks cruises are available for both Magic Kingdom fireworks and Epcot fireworks. The view from Epcot's is like a little more special, I think. Well, maybe not. I mean, like Magic Kingdom, you're just out there watching. Like, I feel like I'm on Bay Lake a lot. On boats, that's where I've rented boats before. So Epcot I've never rented a boat and like driven over there because you can't. But I just think it would be so nice. I'm blanking. I was just dreaming of being on the cruise and I forgot if I told you the pricing or not. So I apologize if I'm repeating this. It's $499 to $549 for 10 guests. If you can get 10 people together and split it up, that's not so bad. Especially when you look at some of the prices right now of in-park dessert parties. Oh my Lord. I saw one that was at that adult only bar in Epcot and it was like $179 per person for like some sort of like drink, food, fireworks viewing situation. That's a lot of money. You get a couple friends together and you basically can get your own fireworks cruise. Anyway, getting one of these, getting like bringing a box of Gideon's cookies on board would hit so hard. And I also looked around and apparently, according to the internet, you can bring your own alcohol on board if that's your thing. It just seems like such a special, perfect way to celebrate with a group of close friends or of a larger family, especially on a day without park tickets. I think I would probably go for the Magic Kingdom version, but it seems pretty cool to me and it's something I've always, always wanted to do and hopefully one day we'll be able to. Now this next one, Shades of Green. What's going on there? I researched this for this episode and I'm even more interested in staying there now than I was before. There's kind of an inverse of a Pixar Pier situation happening here because this was a publicly accessible Disney space and then it became semi-private, whereas Pixar Place Hotel, I always get the two mixed up. Pixar Place Hotel was a third-party hotel that Disney acquired, so it's kind of the reversal of that. Thankfully, Shades of Green has quite the extensive bio on their website, and it was originally a Disney-owned golf resort, which opened in December 1973. It was, in case you couldn't put it together yourself, located in the middle of two golf courses. It was built in the style of a country club, which makes me yearn to have seen this. Disney does old money theming so well, despite stripping almost all of that out of the resort. Like, I am so nervous about the Gottman Steakhouse redo. I went there and I felt like, oh, it just felt like my grandparents would have taken me to a nice steak dinner there and I would have never seen a bill. I miss that feeling about Disney World and I'm worried that all of those little bits have gone by the wayside. Hearing that they built it in the style of a country club, ooh, that must have been nice. Anyway, somewhat sassily, the Shades of Green website bio says the resort first opened as a two-story clubhouse for the golf courses and did not actually have guest rooms. It did not actually have guest rooms. That's kind of how I view them saying it. Those were added in 1973, and they said that every guest room at the resort felt like a suite, to which I was like, okay, slow your roll, until they added that each one had at least 480 square feet, which is actually maniacal. That's like finding out that every single seat on an airplane used to be a business class seat, which I actually think like kind of did. Wow, we're really used to putting up with so much. Every product I buy now doesn't work. Razors don't work. Q-tips, there's no cotton there. I don't know what's happening. I know there's a word for it, which I'm not going to say because there's a profanity in it, but it really, we could have been living large, people. Could have been living large. Disney renamed this the Disney Inn in 1986, and they added 150 rooms. They also added a Snow White theme to appeal to non-golfer types and played up its rustic, kind of quiet hotel charms. Feels very Gilmore Girls to me. Love the idea of an inn and would have absolutely loved to stay here. But in the 1990s, Army officials, also like talking about the military with Disney is so bizarre. Army officials decided it was time to build a new Armed Forces Recreation Center in United States. And Orlando was a top choice that soldiers had kind of voted for. An offer came in from the Walt Disney World to lease the Disney Inn, and Shades of Green opened on February 1st, 1994. The Department of War leased the resort and the land it sat on, for 100 years, which is really kind of funny to think about that, like, the government, like America, was kind of a Disney Vacation Club member, right? Like, that's kind of what that means. Like the military was kind of also a DVC member. Like, the military also was like, welcome home. Like, that's wild. That's pretty funny. Anyway, in 1996, the resort was straight up purchased from Disney, but the Walt Disney Company still owns more than 30 acres of underlying property on which Shades of Green sits. They add, Shades of Green is a self-sustaining resort. No outside or taxpayer funds are used in its operation or upkeep. Pretty cool. I know we have some military families who listen. If you've stayed here, can you let me know what the vibe of this place is like? Does it feel like you're staying off property and you like yearn for a little more Disney? Or does it feel really Disney and you're just like, I'm cozy, I'm home, I'm Disney. And it's just someplace that, you know, normies like me can never access. I'm very curious. And I would love to hear all about it. Now we have a handful of more things we're going to talk about. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be back very, very soon to talk about more things on my bucket list. Y'all, I'm cackling because the prompt for this month's Quince ad, this is a Quince ad, is that I'm supposed to tell you about the piece in my closet that I find myself reaching for over and over again. And y'all know that the only things in my closet that I consider to be staples are from Quince. They are from Quince because that is what Quince does so well. They not just make incredible bike shorts, but they do that for every single item that they sell. The shorts that I wear everywhere, to theme parks, to workout classes with Sutton Foster, which I did today. I wear them daytime, I wear them nighttime, sometimes under a little tunic. They take me everywhere because Quince does it all. Quince makes elevated everyday essentials using premium materials like Mongolian cashmere, organic cotton, and washable silk. The designs are timeless, thoughtfully crafted, and made to be worn again and again. And again and again and again and again and again, because let me tell you, I was mid-workout class with, I'm going to bring it up again, Sutton Foster. Oh, yeah. And I was just like, wow, my Quince shorts are really holding up in this workout class, and I've had them for so long. They're really just that good. But Quince has so much more than that. They have premium stretch denim, leather bags, footwear, beautiful 14-karat gold jewelry, and the type of things that just put the finishing touch on your outfit and make your whole look come together. I'm obsessed with Quince. Not a shocker if you listen to the podcast. The bike shorts are literally the one item I cannot live without. I think at this point I have 8 pairs of them and I rotate. And there was a time recently when I moved where I did not do my laundry and I ran out of Quince bike shorts. And I'll tell you, I was depressed. Their clothing is so good it'll make you depressed that you don't have it clean. And I can't recommend it enough. Quince prices everything 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories to cut out the middlemen. And it's not just bike shorts, baby. Quince brings that same quality approach to everything they make. Stuff like kitchen essentials. Ooh, I gotta shop there. I have some stuff there I need for the kitchen. Thanks, Quince. Hotel quality bedding, bath, furniture. They make well-designed pieces for everyday living. So don't miss out. Find the fall pieces you'll reach for most. I live in California. Shorts are for fall. At Quince. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/amusing. If you do that, you'll get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and UK too, baby. That's quince.com/amusing. We're talking Nathan and Sons, makers of underbrush remineralizing gum. It's a chewing gum that helps take care of your teeth in between brushing. It's different from other gums. It's thicker, it's chewier, and it's way better than natural gums I've tried before. It'll freshen your breath with flavors like mint, cinnamon, and berry, and is made with natural tree saps. I'm new to this world of remineralizing gum, but I guess it's made with the same mineral your tooth enamel is made from, which is pretty cool. If you're someone who likes to chomp, chomp, chomp on something throughout the day, and as a popcorn freak, you know I can relate, Underbrush Remineralizing Gum will give you more of that oomph in every bite. Nathan and Sons makes it themselves from scratch in their own facility in Northern California. We love a local small business! And they are running a promotion for first-time users. Right now, you can get 30% off your first order when you subscribe. So if you are looking for something new, a satisfying natural chew that'll help freshen your breath and support enamel, visit NathanandSons.com today. Welcome back. You know what I want to do? I want to ride on that Mickey Mouse golf cart. You know the one you've seen on Instagram that pops up online? I want to ride on that. And apparently, you can't ride on it, which I think is pretty cursed. I think it's not fair that this exists and we can see it, but we cannot actually ride it because that's all I want to do. This Instagram famous golf cart is located outside the shop at Disney's Palm Golf Course. I believe I ended up like deep in the weeds of some Disney golf blog, and I got sidetracked because while reading one of these posts, they said, Walt Disney World Golf introduces our Disney character-themed four-seater golf carts for family use. And I was like, heck yeah, this is my opportunity. I'm just gonna be wheeling around in a big old Mickey head. Cool. Except, nope. They're basically the Uniqlo t-shirt of gift carts. They are gray. They are gray with a little like printed out character decal on the front. It's small. They're sad. It's not what I wanted because I would pay so much money to be able to drive around in like a big, massive, goofy head with wheels. The amount of money I would pay for that would make future me ill, but I would do it. I would do it because that's what I want. And they don't have that. They don't have that. And that's kind of a bummer. Another thing I haven't done is Premiere Pass. I weirdly have never used Premiere Pass. Now, if you are unfamiliar, Premiere Pass is the all-in version of Lightning Lane. To refresh your memory, if you, I was going to say have a life, but this, I love this stuff. That's rude. That's rude to me. I don't know why I'm insulting myself on my own podcast, but Lightning Lane Single Pass is the product that you can use to skip the line one time on Disney's most in-demand rides at Disneyland and Disney World. Lightning Lane Multipass is similar to the old Fast Pass product or Genie Plus if you wasted too much brain space on all of that before it changed over to this. That allows you to book multiple rides throughout the day at Disney and Disney World and Disneyland theme parks. Disney's Premier Pass is basically every ride that you can get through those two products available whenever you want to go. You pay one flat fee, and at Disneyland Resort, you have Premier Pass for both parks. It applies to both theme parks. And at Walt Disney World Resort, you buy it per park per day. It is available sometimes. You kind of have to like down to the wire a week before you can figure out if you can get it or not. It is pricey because it is essentially the best possible way to blast through everything in a theme park without paying for a VIP tour, which is significantly more expensive than this. Prices for Premier Pass were not as high as I always thought they were when I started looking into this. I actually have been flagging it at Disneyland Resort because the last three Sundays that I checked, for some reason, Sunday is cheaper. Maybe there's more annual pass holders. Maybe that's why. The last few Sundays I checked, they were $299 a day per person. And that applies to both of the parks, which sounds like a lot. I know. I'm not saying $300 is nothing. But theme park admission is actually so high. And the price of the individual Lightning Lanes, the single pass for Lightning Lane for some of those rides can add up so quickly that like $299 is like very close to the price of a one-day park hopper on certain days of the year. So that is weirdly not out of bounds when it's on the lower ends. I do wish Disney World would let us buy a batch of Lightning Lanes. I wish, because Premier Pass is a waste of money if you have a kid that doesn't meet these height requirements. If you don't go on all these rides, you're throwing money away. I would rather spend a portion of this rate, half of this amount, and be able to just get access to the kid-friendly rides. That is something I would consider splurging on a very special day at the parks because my kid's not going on Tron. Like, there's no reason to pay for it. So there's no reason for me to even buy Premier Pass even for myself. Magic Kingdom for the next week, because that's as far as you can look into it, ranges between $299 and $359 per day per person when I was recording this. And also you buy like one day. It's not like you have to buy it every day of your trip. And again, let's not be crazy here. That is a hunk of money. That is a significant amount of change. But I do think that it's maybe worth it to start approaching these trips with this as a piece of the planning. Because if you really want to go and do rides and you don't want to be draining your life source and your phone battery trying to book everything, it might be worth it to budget for this. And if you do, let's just say you do Magic Kingdom one day, $299 a person. If you're traveling with maybe one or two other people for a small party, if you kind of plan out your trip, maybe you skip table service dining and you only have one table service meal the entire trip. Maybe you cut out one of your park days entirely. Like, once you start doing those things for a party of two or three, like if you skip three meals, you're kind of almost there for affording this. You can annex that money to have a blowout incredible day at Magic Kingdom and then kind of scrimp and save other places. I personally have never broken down the math for Premier Pass like this. I've never approached a visit in this way, but it's something to think about because I do think that like the joy that one massive blowout day doing anything you wanted at Magic Kingdom, being able to access any Lightning Lane ride whenever you want for one day, I think that would be such a feel-good money, you know, to throw it back. Feel-good money. That would be so nice that it would actually like counteract skipping other meals and doing and skipping other things that you might have done otherwise. $300 is a feel-bad amount, don't get me wrong, but it is worth maybe thinking about the financials that way because I haven't before and it... Listen, some of these table service restaurants add up and this, if you cut out a few meals... That's your Premier Pass money. It's just worth thinking about. And while this is less of a bucket list and more of a thing I absolutely need to do as soon as humanly possible, I gotta be doing the new airport luggage transfer service at Walt Disney World. They brought back a hotel perk, and we've talked about this. You know, they now have expanded it to three airlines. They have it at all the values, but since we last spoke about it, they have also added it to its first moderate at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort, meaning that you can go to your airport, check your suitcase, go to your hotel. Your suitcase arrives there and you can do it on the way back. This is one of my all-time favorite Disney perks that we no longer have. I cannot believe it's back. I cannot believe it's not the only thing we're ever talking about. I am specifically going to stay at Caribbean Beach, not a hotel I love by any means, but I will be staying there on my next solo trip. I will probably stay there, do this, check my bag through, take what, just like a backpack on the plane and then not even wait for luggage. Oh my Lord. I like truly like Kelly Clarkson, some people wait a lifetime. Like I have been waiting since 2020 for this. I think it was 2021 when they actually ended it, but you know what I mean? Like I cannot believe this is back. I can't. Some people, me, wait a lifetime. All I want is like that and Magical Express. That's all I want. We were so close to it. I will obviously report every detail about it when I do it back to you. But it's an absolute must. And I cannot wait to do it. Another thing I don't currently have scheduled, but I've never done at Disney World is Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Because obviously I won't be the person partaking in the makeover, but it's the first time for me too. It's the first time I'd ever seen it. And I have not done that yet. Pearl has gotten her haircuts, her only two haircuts of her life, at Harmony Barbershop because I think it's hilarious that my child will only get her haircut at on Main Street USA. Sorry, but I think that's funny. That's a shtick I'm willing to keep up, even though her hair keeps getting longer and longer. We're going to stick with it because I think it's funny and I'm the mom and I'm in charge and what I say goes. And so that's what we're going to do. It's working for us. It's 3.5 years in. We've pulled it off and I'm going to keep doing it. But we've never gone to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. We do not have plans to do it on this trip. We have plans to maybe do it on a cruise. But again, with a toddler, nothing is ever certain. You never know. I don't want to jinx it in case she changes her mind. Because if she doesn't want to do it, I never want to be in a situation where I'm like, I paid for this and we have to do it. And she's like, I don't want to. Like, if she doesn't want to do something, we're not going to do it. I'm with her. Like, you don't want to get a makeover? Fine. You're like, absolutely. I want to be able to pull that plug. So we are hypothetically going to do this in a few weeks, but it will not be at Magic Kingdom. I look forward to when we do it at Magic Kingdom, when we do it at Disneyland. We have not done it yet, but I really am excited to see what it's like firsthand because I've seen like videos here and there, but I really don't know what the experience is like when it's someone in your own party doing it. And I cannot wait. Other things I got to check out. I got to see that Evermore Lake. Yeah, it's not an official Disney hotel, but I got to see that lake with my own human eyes. See what's going on over at Evermore. What's the deal with that big lake? Why aren't we all talking about it a lot? It's very big. It feels like natural disaster big. You know what I mean? It's too big. And I have said it scares me. And their PR team, who I'm friendly with, told me, don't be scared. you will like Evermore. You got to check it out. And I was like, okay, okay, I'll come see the big body of water. I will not be frightened by it. I will more just be like amazed and wowed. I love to be wowed. So I would like to visit Evermore at some point and see it with my own eyes. Am I physically a strong enough swimmer to swim across it? I don't think so. It seems that big. To me, it seems like the ocean. This is what like people before technology thought the ocean was. Like, I'm very like Earth is flat about this. I'm like, how could it possibly be so big? I don't understand. I don't understand. And it's deep. It doesn't make, how did the water get there? Did they truck it in? Did they have a lot of hoses? I don't know. I want to find out firsthand. And so that is also on my list, including a Disney World hotel that is at the top of my bucket list that I somehow have not stayed at. Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. I have spent a criminal amount of time there. So much time there that I'm like, you guys should ban non-guests. You shouldn't let us in. I've spent so many hours there. But no, I've actually never stayed at the Poly. It's one of the very few hotels I have not stayed at on property. I've stayed at a lot of hotels. Another one is Fort Wilderness, which is also on my list. But I've spent enough time there where I'm not, you know, I'd like to maybe ride around in a golf cart for another day or two, but it's not like, that's not really the hotel I want to decompress at. I know it is appealing and I know it's nice. For me, I'm like, if I'm going to be in the wilderness, I want to be at my overnight camp. I like the temptation of Disney parks is too far beyond the vibe of that place for my brain to rectify it. If that makes any sense, like I would be in camping zone. I wouldn't be in like a Main Street confectionery that sells that weird mushy chocolate syrup popcorn mode. It's too different. Those are the dichotomy between the two is too challenging for my brain to figure out. So I'm not dying to stay there. I would love to ride a horse there. Oh, my office is echoey. I'm sorry if you hear that. I would love. Wow. Okay, we're gonna have to put up some panels. Anyway, we're learning. New office, we're learning. I would love to ride a horse at Fort Wilderness. Seems great. There's pony rides. Last time I checked, there was a pony named Pearl. That speaks to me. But I really want to stay at the Poly. I kind of want to stay in the Poly Tower, even though it feels like a cheat because I've never stayed in Poly regular version. But I would like to stay there at some point. I want to stay there at some point. I want like that coffee bar to be my local coffee bar. I want to try it. I want to stay there. I got to do it sometime. We are nearing the bottom of the list. What do we have left? Okay, we have restaurants I haven't been to yet. There's a fair number of them, I will not lie. There is a good amount of places I've never been to because, frankly, if I like a place, I'm going to keep going back. I only have so much room in my body for food, but I've never done Monsieur Paul. That's something I've never got around to doing. It seems weird that I've done Beer Garden twice in recent memory, but never Monsieur Paul. That's something I really gotta do. Like, I've eaten in Morocco probably 8 times more than I've been to Monsieur Paul. I really gotta get around to doing that. I really want to go to Bourbon Steak when they reopen. Shea Spence has hyped it up in my brain so much that I gotta go here. They have French fries instead of bread and you sit down at the table. And like, they could serve me slop after that and I would love it no matter what. And apparently it's great. It is not slop. It is fantastic. I have never been to Le Cellier. I know. But there's so many restaurants in Epcot. And I'm not like dying for cheese soup all the time. I don't know. I'm not out here craving a steak. So it's hard to get me to go to some of these places. I've never been there. I've also never been, I don't know if I want to admit this. I have never been to Tony's Town Square Restaurant on Main Street, USA at Disney's Magic Kingdom. I've never done it. I want to see the interiors. Feels very retro, feels very cool. But I want to eat literally nothing on the menu. Do you know what I don't want in Magic Kingdom? Fettuccine Alfredo, okay? It's been like 101 degrees in Disneyland, in Los Angeles right now. The idea of having braised beef jardinera on Main Street is not something I'm dying to do. Now, a rigatoni alla vodka, that is kind of the only pasta I like to eat besides mac and cheese, I'm intrigued. But I'm not out here eating chicken parmesan or like, I mean, salmon avocado is fine. I'm not out here eating oven roasted shrimp scampi and then a seasonal cannoli in the middle of my theme park day. Like, I just can't. It's not something that interests me. It's not something I've done. And it's not something I plan on doing. But one day I will do it. One day I look forward to doing it. One day. But I mean, that's the bottom of my bucket list. It's kind of like, it's like clinging onto the, it's like the corner got ripped off my bucket list and it's hanging on for dear life. I haven't been there. There's a lot of places I haven't been. But that one I'm not desperate to go to. that one I'm not desperate to go to. I basically, if it sounds like I'm talking around something, it's because I am. Because there is something that I haven't done that I'm going to admit to you. I promised you at the beginning of the episode, I was going to tell you, and I really don't want to, and this is me avoiding it. But I'm going to tell you because we're among friends. This is a safe space that I've created here. I hope you feel the same way. And I think it is time I let you know that there is something that you absolutely assume I have done, and I have not done it. And here goes. Oh my God, I'm going to like puke. I don't want to tell you. I have never been on the Behind the Scenes tour. I know. It seems like that's like me saying I've never seen Muppet Vision 3D. Obviously, I have. I'm staring at like 5 or 7 pieces of Muppets artwork in my office right now. I've never done Behind the Scenes because, like I mentioned before, I'm someone who has a hard time focusing. You know this about me. The idea of like standing and learning while people, the idea of people on a boat looking at me makes me sick. Like I can't, being like something that someone would be staring at, and I know I'm on the internet a lot and it's just because I block it out and I don't even like factor in that people are watching it. It's just like, it feels like me posting to myself. Being like standing on the side of Living with the Land with a boat going past, looking at me, gives me so much anxiety. I cannot explain it to you. Like knowing that boatfuls of vacationers are judging me, like looking at me, like maybe what I'm wearing, maybe they don't like what I'm wearing, maybe they think I look weird, like, okay, oh, do they recognize her? Oh, what is she doing? Is she mouth breathing? Like just knowing that people will be boating past me is already a yikes for me. Then having to focus, also yikes. Third bit, seems kind of warm in there. I don't want to be sweating and having to focus. That is stressful for me. I love to learn. And I love Living with the Land, but I'm very, very nervous about putting myself in this scenario. It just seems like a real cocktail of anxiety for me. I've never done it. I've never taken the time to do it. And it's something I need to do. Like this is on my bucket list and I need to cross it off like a chore on my to-do list. I need to do it. It makes no sense that I live this life and I have this personality and I have not been on Behind the Scenes. It's weird. And if you don't know what Behind the Scenes is, it is, you guessed it, the Behind the Scenes tour on Living with the Land, which is the greenhouse ride at Epcot. It is very much like you walk around, you see the plants. I think you maybe like taste a little mint or something, taste a little plant. And the big selling point is that you get to stand in the greenhouse. You're on the boat usually, you can't get out, you're in trouble. And here you get to stand, on the side. But it really fills me with so much anxiety that I have not done it. And I'm going to power through. I'm going to be perceived standing on the side of the greenhouse. But I have not done it. And I needed to admit it to you because it felt like we've been doing this podcast for like 7 years, I think almost 7 years. And I have never told you that. And so it felt like it was time to come clean. Please don't razz me about it. And if you don't think I should go on Behind the Scenes, let me know because I don't know why I have a real weird block about it and I haven't done it, but it is on the bucket list. And I think that's everything on the Disney World bucket list. I am lucky enough where I go often and I've been able to do a lot because this is part of my job. I don't just go for vacation, but because I go for work, I don't get to often do things that I would personally like to try out because I don't have that much time. So there is so much to look forward to. I can't wait to go to Disney World. Again, I'm going to be there for 2 days and then I'm going to be on the most bonkers trip of all time. Second only to the time when I went to Disney World so that we could preview, that must have been what, the Disney Destiny? And so they took us on the Disney Wish to learn about the Disney Destiny. This is that for like almost a friggin' week. It's going to be so rad. I can't wait to tell you about it. And I can't wait to tell you about my Disney World trip. If you have any other bucket list stuff you think I should add, stuff you have questions about, things you want to recommend that I mentioned, or tell me that I shouldn't do it. Because like I hear that people go on the fireworks cruises and it's cold. And I do not want to be on a cold boat. Let me know. Let me know. And if this sounds weird in my new office, also let me know. Because I think I need to add some panels. I maybe need to like sit in the closet and record it. We will find out. But in the closet, I don't get to stare at Beaker's face on my wallpaper. So not the same. Thank you so much for listening. Stick around. We got more. Okay, bye. Essentially theme park Halloween season, consider what I'm doing here a Becky Menken costume, because I'm going to reiterate everything our goddess from MEI Mouse Fan Travel relayed on the podcast that you couldn't hear because I'm not very good at editing. starting with some deals at Royal Caribbean. Now, you'll have to book this by September 14th, but you can get a kids sale free deal basically from now through August 2027. So if you want to plan a cruise now through the end of next summer, you gotta be taking advantage of this. Or if you are thinking of going on vacation with friends, or, you know, maybe you have a best friend and they have a best friend and that best friend really wants to go to Las Vegas for a bachelorette party and you're like, please, Lord, never let me see the inside of a nightclub again, steer them towards Royal Caribbean, because there is also an offer where you can get a third and a fourth guest free. You'll save money, frankly, have a lot better of a time. I would rather go on like 10 back-to-back cruises and never have my feet touch the ground than to see the inside of a nightclub, period. The end. Disney Cruise Line also has a ton of offers right now. They have a save up to $500 per person on select sailings October 1st through December 31st. I believe that is the Treasure, the Fantasy, and the Disney Wonder. But I gotta tell ya, you know, I be emailing Blair at Mouse Fan Travel. Not to shout out Blair, but shout out Blair, most patient man in America. There are a lot of discounts available on Disney Cruise Line right now. Also, their website is so difficult to navigate. I highly recommend reaching out. Go to mousefantravel.com/amusing, get linked up with an agent, be like, I'm kind of into this vibe, these dates, I'm flexible, what do you think? They will get you all the info. And if you want to book it all, you want to kind of like parse it through yourself, you have that little Disney brain like I do where I like to like look at prices, you can do that on Mouse Fan Travel's website as well. So you can kind of like get the best of both worlds a little bit. Over at Aulani, we've got up to 30% off, including partial ocean view rooms and ocean view, which is pretty tight. 30% off stays 5 nights or more. Like, you're going to Hawaii, you're probably going to stay for a bit. It's a long flight and you should. You can save up to 25% for 4 nights or more. And this is valid from October 19th to December 23rd. So, like, get your little, like, pre-Christmas holiday fall bonanza out in Aulani. That sounds so much fun. And if you are a Disney Visa cardholder, which I am, you can save up to 35%. I think that is everything. Oh my gosh. I can't handle Becky's job. This is hard. I literally talking to a microphone for a living and like having to say 7 numbers out loud just broke my brain. So leave your travel planning up to the experts. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. Tell them I sent ya. Have an easy breezy time planning a trip. Remember, they're not going to charge you anything. You can just email them and be like, I have the Epcot itch. I'm like kind of interested in going to Disney World. Like, when's the cheapest time for me to go? Like, just reach out and ask them. It never hurts to ask, and they will hopefully plan the perfect trip for you. Mousefantravel.com/amusing. We love them. They plan my trips, and they should plan yours too.
Carly, it's Kate, longtime listener. Two things. One tip, I don't want this spot to blow up, but since Napa Rose reopened, the bar at Napa Rose takes walk-ups, and it's frequently empty. I don't know if it's because it doesn't show up on the app that people just don't know it's there, but you can fully just walk up to the Napa Rose and ask to be seated at the bar, and it's usually got room. Now, the drinks are expensive, and the food is expensive. But if you want adult drinks, that's been my go-to kind of chill spot to just, like, go and nurse a drink while I'm waiting for friends or whatever. Second, in the fall, I'm going to Disney World for the first time. I'm going to be there for about 6 days. I'm a California girl, so I've only done California and Tokyo, but different parks. We have park hopper tickets, but it's hard for me to understand the feasibility of, like, when I'm looking at these parks, some of them don't have a lot of dinner options that I love, but obviously Epcot has too many for me to try just in one go. So how feasible is park hopping at the end of the day? Like, depending on the park, what's your advice there as far as not planning too much? Obviously, I have 6 days to see all of the parks at least one a day, and go back for more. But yeah, it's just hard for me to understand the space, I think, because it's so much larger than just bopping across DCA from Disneyland. All right, that's it.
Hi! Oh my gosh. Okay, first of all, huge tip about Napa Rose. I don't know what it is, but when they shut down for a while, it's like my brain, they shut down for their remodel. They recently reopened a few months ago. My brain like removed them as an option. It's like, oh, they are currently closed. And so it just yeeted it out. And now I forgot to put it back in. I forgot to put that bar back in because I've had drinks at that bar. It's lovely. And yeah, it is pricey. But again, If you're going to a theme park and you're getting a nice cocktail, you're going to be spending some money. You're going to be like, you're already in the range. So I feel like if you're going to do it, go for it. Like if you're going to have like a nice cocktail, get a nice cocktail and really treat yourself, which is what that bar is. Thank you for reminding me and bringing that to my attention. I completely was like, oh, they're closed. It's like no longer an option. No, it's not like the petting zoo they used to have. Like it's back open. So thank you for bringing this to my attention because yeah, you're right. I completely forgot. And I'm tossing it on the addendum bucket list because I need to be doing that. Now, to answer your actual Disney World question, stuff's far. That's that's the headline here. Parks be far. Parks are far away from each other. It takes time to get between them. The quickest you'll get between parks is Epcot and Hollywood Studios, but I wanted to at least give you like a little cheat sheet and some tips for getting around more easily, how to plan your trip around visiting multiple parks since you are park hopping, and what to do about what you said with dining reservations. To give you the lay of the land, Disney World has four parks. Animal Kingdom is essentially on an island of its own. You can't walk anywhere from there. It's not walking distance to the hotels. That is something you have to take proper transportation to. Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios are physically closest because you can take a boat, you can take a Skyliner, you can actually walk between the two parks. Those are the only parks you can walk between. And Epcot and Magic Kingdom are they're the next closest. They're pretty close. You can take two monorails. Like driving wise, it's not that bad. They're pretty close. Buses in general, they take a while to get from place to place at Disney World. Just keep that in mind because you could be waiting up to 20 minutes for one to arrive and then going on your journey. So it can take a bit of time. You can get lucky and it won't. And that is, that is a high that I love to feel. But the buses are free, they get the job done, and they are reliable. Don't forget, though, in case you are going with a group of people where you don't need a car seat, you don't need a booster seat, anything like that, you can take an Uber or Lyft almost everywhere. You cannot Uber or Lyft to the Magic Kingdom, but there is rideshare drop-off at the three other parks, and it is a really, really easy way to come and go on your own schedule. It's usually not that expensive either. Under 20 bucks almost always, a lot of times around 10, so it is doable. But if you are in a pinch and you are park hopping and you are at your hotel and you're like, we got to get into Magic Kingdom to see Starlight and to see fireworks, definitely think about using a minivan. Minivan is I don't know how I forgot. I just forgot words. Minivan is essentially because I'm trying to say minivan, M-I-N-I, and it's really hard to say it out loud when you're talking about minivans, M-I-N-N-I-E. It is a special fleet of like Disney powered lift vehicles, often a M-I-N-I van, like a soccer van, soccer minivan. Why is this so hard for me today? Anyway, if you are in a pinch, these Lyft vehicles that are in partnership with Disney can be booked in the Lyft app, but they essentially are driven by cast members and they can get you places more specifically and with more ease and with some Disney theming in a way that Uber and Lyft and regular rideshare cannot. For drop-offs in Magic Kingdom, if you want to save time, that is the number one use for it, I think. And if you need car seats, they have two car seats always and they have accessible versions of minivans also, which are fantastic. So if you are in a pinch, those will really help you maximize your park hopping time, especially because if you're staying somewhere like Port Orleans Riverside or a larger resort, they can pick you up in your building area, which saves a ton of time as well. When it comes to park hopping, we're going bare bones here, but like two parks in a day is doable. Three parks is aggressive, and four parks, you're just doing that to accomplish a goal. You are doing a theme park marathon, which I respect and which is very fun, but maybe not for this trip. Maybe by the end you want a challenge. But if you're truly like on vacation, just seeing what Disney World's about, I would plan on two parks per day. And since it feels like you are someone who loves to plan, which we love, I would actually channel that dining reservation energy into kind of plotting out what quick service places you may want to go to for lunch and some dinners. And don't forget, there are a lot of sit-down table service, dinner dining just seemed weird to say. More of like an event. I think of dinner like sitting down for dinner is like an event. More like dinner type restaurants at hotels. So if that's something you really want to experience, it's totally normal to leave the parks for that and then maybe go somewhere else after. Just keep that in mind. That is an option for you. I would leave at least an hour and a half for any table service or sit down restaurant. Even if you do rush out, it does end up taking a while. And even at a buffet, like you're going to be there for a minute. Plan on an hour and a half. You said you were going in the fall, but it may still be hot when you're there. So I just want to remind you, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I'm stumbling on my words. I just want to remind you that you may want to consider possibly doing a sit-down lunch instead of a dinner, specifically to escape the heat. It's kind of a reliable idea, especially because if you're going September, it could still be really, really hot. It can also help you maximize, possibly, more Epcot restaurants than if you were only sticking to a sit-down dinner. A lot of my favorite sit-downs really depend on if you want a character experience or not. It kind of depends on if you're in Disney for characters, for theming, or just really, really good food, which they offer all of. So if you're there for 6 days, I would book maybe 4 to 5 sit-down meals. I would look through everything, rank your favorites, and do know that like quick service restaurants are also great because they can get you in and out and back to doing park stuff very easily and leaves you more room for snacks. Some places I want to call out because you are new here and I want to just give you a primer. At Magic Kingdom, Skipper Canteen, if you're there for the food, that's going to be your best bet, I think. There's been some talk about Tony's, but like, I'm not going there. Crystal Palace, Churro Waffles, breakfast, iconic food, Winnie the Pooh characters, lovely building, buffet. That's like more of like a character, traditional character breakfast, but they have throughout the day vibe. I mean, they switch the menu throughout the day, but you know what I mean. I recently got to say, Cinderella's Royal Table, it's quite an event. It's quite an event. I had a good meal there, which I was shocked by. But if you're in it for like princess lore, I would go there. Otherwise, Be Our Guest, I have not. I went there a lot and then I stopped going there. It is expensive for what it is, but you get to see the Beast, which is pretty rare. And if you want to do that, I totally understand. Epcot, I have so many favorites. Like truly pick your favorite type of cuisine. They offer everything. Depending on what you want to do, there are so many options for you. I would just be listing off every country. If I literally would be like Italy, China, Japan, Mexico, I'd list all of them off. But I love Epcot dining so much. If you are looking for a sit-down restaurant at Animal Kingdom, I mean, there is a Rainforest Cafe, but you kind of got two vibes. You have, I almost said Satouli Canteen when I was thinking of Tiffin's. Tiffin's sit-down restaurant, really high quality food, really good dining experience in the park. And also Yak and Yeti, which is more of like a casual, more fun sit-down. But Tiffin's is a little more serious, but they have really, really great food. Don't sleep on Nomad Lounge, which is the connected bar, which you don't need a reservation for, and also has small plates. And then for Disney's Hollywood Studios, you have really unique dining here. So you have Hollywood Brown Derby, which is oldie time. The menu there is not my personal favorite, but I mean, it's Hollywood Brown Derby. It's iconic. Sci-fi dine-in theater. There's nothing else like it in the world. You're on a soundstage, but you're pretending that you're in a drive-in theater. Absolutely bananas. The only thing is, if you have a party of more than two, you are just going to be staring, for the most part, forward at a screen at each other's heads. There are tables where you can sit in the round, but they're kind of like the loser tables. I'm sorry, they are. They're like the, oh, you walked up for a reservation, you're going to be sitting on the back. Like, it's just a little concession stand table and not the full dining experience. But that place is unlike anything else and so, so Disney, which also the counterpart to that is 50s Primetime. That's like old school diner, great scenery, great retro Disney vibe. It just depends on which of those two kind of flavors you are most interested in. Those are my recommendations for sit-down restaurants. Again, there are so many of the hotels and I don't want to overwhelm you with options. If you have any, like, should I do this or this options, feel free to text 747 Churros, but it takes me a little longer to text back, or call. I will get back to you, but have so much fun. I would say don't push yourself too hard, because I am someone who pushes myself too hard at Disney and I'll be like, we gotta go. And that is not the vibe of a vacation, which I'm learning as I go with small child that I cannot fully control as much as I can when it's me and my mom sprinting between stuff. So rank your like 4 or 5 top favorites, make those reservations, and have so much fun. Have so much fun. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening, and boy oh boy, I hope I get to loop back soon about actually doing some of this stuff. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. I know it sounds like a tiny little thing that you hear all the time, kind of like when you think of the word ketchup, and then you say it over and over and over and over, and you're like, oh my god, that word makes no sense. You probably hear me say this all the time, but it really does make a difference, and it helps people find our podcast. So please, if you have a moment, rate us. I won't say no to five stars. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you helping us spread the word. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS about literally anything. Call us about literally anything. I don't think there's ever been a call where I've been like, I'm ill-equipped to answer that. I'm not. I'm ready to answer it, and I'd love to. I just looked out the window and I realized there's a spider in the corner. I'm going to have to take care of that after this. You can call about spiders. I don't know anything, but I do know that, oh, there's another one. Our new house has a spider problem. They are trying to reclaim it. they're trying to reclaim it, and we are fending them off. We are not winning. I will leave it at that. If you are curious about planning a Disney cruise for their brand new itineraries for 2027 and 2028 that were announced, you want to sail out of New York because that's closer to you. You want to get on the Disney Wish. Can you imagine getting off the subway and getting on the Disney Wish? Oh, that sounds amazing. You can do all of that. You can plan your Universal trip. Come visit me in Los Angeles. Go to Universal Studios Hollywood. I just got my annual pass. I'm excited to go a lot. You want to go to Disneyland, no matter where you want to go, either this year or next or into the future, definitely reach out to MEI Mousefan Travel. Mousefantravel.com/amusing is your portal to the world, baby. If you want to plan a trip, they will help you do it. And it's really so much nicer than doing it all yourself on the internet. It's so much nicer. They are friendly. They're helpful. And if you also have Blair, they are very patient because I am annoying. And it's been a wonderful process so far. Can't recommend them enough. They help make this podcast possible. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing and plan your trip today. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel. Join the Foamily at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. I am posting like prolifically there. I post a lot now. It's basically close friends, and it's 99 cents a month. It's as cheap as possible because that is how I value myself. I'm just kidding. Only a little. I have a really hard time putting my worth in monetary value, but I love doing it, and I would love to see you there. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. I can't believe you had Zach Lax on. I love him so much. Oh, my God. We have been on a few trips with Zach, and we shared meals together. We spent beach days together. Very, very, very fun memories. And we did almost miss our departing ship together. We may or may not have taken too many pictures on the island and had to run on the ship before the hatch closed. That may have happened. That was the best day. And let's not forget about Zach and Jesse. I truly love you both. It melts my heart that I remind them both of their moms. It makes me tear up. I really love them. Great episode. So fun. Hope to see Zach and Jesse real soon on one of our many trips coming up. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. And, of course, I love you, John Stamos. Of course. Bye-bye.